Welcome, friends. Welcome back to ArtCast. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, bringing you more solid information from VS Live San Francisco. And it's good information that you can listen to. And that's what Giulio from Milan likes. And Giulio said, I want to thank Ron for preparing some good material that can be listened to instead of looked at. It's a personal lifesaver. Hey, I'm so honored. I'm glad I'm saving your life, man, because that's what we are all about here. So, dude, listen up. On this show, we have Paul Sheriff, once again at VS Live San Francisco, and he was talking to me about this really cool thing that you've probably heard about, but you don't know a lot about, maybe, if I'm guessing right, right? Cascading style sheets. I mean, I know they're there. I've kind of looked at them, but the syntax is weird and arcane, and I just haven't had time to figure it out. But maybe I should, and maybe you should, too. Let's give it up for Paul Sheriff. Well, I'm here with Paul Sheriff at VS Live San Francisco. And Paul, you're another one of the regular VS Live speaker bunch, aren't you?
That's right. Been doing this for several years now. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. And in effect, well, you know, we run into each other at these events all over the world, right?
Exactly.
Did you go to the Sydney one?
No, I missed that one because my wife was doing some things and I couldn't get away. So.
Oh, well, it was a long flight. So.
Yeah. I'm kind of glad I missed that one. So.
Yeah, but it was great fun, though. So what are you speaking on at the conference here?
Boy, you know, I'm really busy this time. I have CSS for the ASP.NET developer. Mm-hmm. I have personalization in ASP.NET 2.0. Oh, let's see. I'm doing table adapters 101, teaching people about the new table adapters. I am doing SharePoint overview, and then I have a full-day workshop on SharePoint on Thursday. So it should be a lot of fun.
Wow, you are very busy.
I am.
I mean, well, I did three sessions at the VS Live in Sydney, and I thought I was full, you know, but that's, yeah. You are over the top here.
A little crazy. I got a guy coming in from my shop, though. He's going to help me on Thursday, so at least I got a little help on Thursday.
Yeah, well, that's
half a work day.
Those full day things are really exhausting.
They really are, so it really helps to have somebody else there with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, so what do you do when you're not speaking at VS Live?
Wow. You know, I run my own consulting shop. I have 12 developers. That keeps us very busy. We sell a developer product, a couple of them, actually, so a framework that we have developed for business applications. And other than that, I'm busy with my two kids, two daughters, 14 and 7, and my wife, and a dog, and a cat, and fish. And so we do a lot of different things, hiking and stuff.
Yeah.
About a year and a half ago, myself and several other Microsoft regional directors from around the world, we all met up in Africa, and we hiked up Kilimanjaro.
Whoa, that sounds like fun.
Oh, it was awesome. We had a great time. So.
Oh, man. Well, you know, I could do that.
Yeah.
I could really get into that. Now, in September, right before the PDC, I did my big hike, which was the hike up Half Dome in Yosemite.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, and it was a trek, you know. It's we left at like 5:30 in the morning and it's dark and you know, you hike up 4,000 feet elevation and and that last little bit you're climbing up like this granite wall. It's just insane. Have you done that?
I have not done that one. So, because you know, we usually when we go there, we have my kids, so we can only do the smaller hikes.
But oh, yeah.
One of these days. So.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. It was really fun. And it took, you know, we got back at like 3:30 in the afternoon. So it was an all day thing, you know.
That's neat.
But, yeah. You know, I couldn't have done that a couple years ago when I was really out of shape, you know. So I've gotten in shape now, so I'm doing all this fun stuff. It's great.
That's what we did, too. We took some time, got in shape, and did the hike. And it was 5 days up and 2 days down. And made it all the way to 19,340 feet.
Whoa, that is intense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now was it snowy and stuff up there?
Yeah, actually, there's a glacier on the top of the mountain there. So really beautiful. So.
Well, one of these days, it's on my one of these days list. Yeah. I'm going to climb Mount Rainier here.
Oh, fun.
If I could convince my wife to let me do it. Okay, but that's not why we're here. We're just chatting on the... Okay. Anyway, but so cascading style sheets, CSS. Now, that is something that I think a lot of people go, yeah, I've heard of them, and you know, it sounds like it might be interesting, but I don't know about you, but when I look at those, I go, what is this thing? I can't figure it out, and I've messed around with them a little bit, like... you know, set a couple of styles in there just to kind of give me a consistent look. But I know they can do way, way more than what I have done. Why should people think about cascading style sheets?
There's a lot of reasons, I think, why people really need to focus more on the style sheets as opposed to putting inline styles. A lot of people, when they go into Visual Studio and they start dragging and dropping controls onto the form, they go in and set the properties.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the problem with setting the properties is that now that label has a certain color or a certain style to it that has been hard-coded. And we all know hard-coding isn't a good thing to do.
Right.
So it really helps if you can move that out and make a style for that label. So now you can apply it to not only that label, but all labels. That way, if you need to make a change, you make it in one place. And that's really the key to cascading style sheets, is not having all these hard-coded values all over throughout your code, but keeping things in one place. So if you need to make a global change, it makes it easier to change things. That way, it's easier to maintain. So if your boss comes to you and wants a change, right, you can tell them, oh, gosh, that's going to take like 2 hours to do, and literally it takes you 5 minutes, right? So and that's a better idea.
So is this how people, you know, kind of achieve that sort of skinning effect on websites?
That's interesting you'd mention skinning, because obviously that is exactly what it's for. They want to be able to change the look and feel, maybe even per user or per company. A lot of people co-brand their sites, mm-hmm. and so a certain company might have certain logos and certain color schemes they want to follow. So by changing the style sheet right now, everything can become changeable. It also fits right in with ASP.NET 2.0, where you have themes and skins, because cascading style sheets can be a part of those as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, so, you know, my audience is people who are thinking about architecture and architects, and so, you know, probably a lot of them right now going, so what? Why? I'm just tuning out because that doesn't sound like an architecture topic. But really, I think these are things that architects need to be aware of, right? Because if you had a requirement like, I have a friend who's an architect for a payroll service, right? And so they run the websites and whatnot, but they want to be able to brand a page, you know. So when one of their customers comes to a report for their company, they want to see a page that looks like their company's website and not this other, you know, company.
Absolutely.
So this is a way you could achieve these kind of architecture requirements.
Oh, I agree. I mean, I think styles and themes and skins need to be a part of the architect's, you know, mode of thinking. I mean, if I'm an architect, that's what I do too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always having to think for my customers, what are they going to require downstream? And we all know customers change their minds at the drop of a hat.
Oh, sure.
Right? And so a lot of times they say, well, you know, I want the label gray and I want the text box right next to it, you know, but then they come up later and say, you know what, we're going to change that. I want the label blue and I want the text boxes now underneath it.
Yeah.
Think about how you would have to do that. If you were using tables to lay out like everybody does with label and text box next to it, right? They create a two-column table.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to redesign that whole page.
Yeah.
But if you eliminate the table and use style sheets for the positioning of the label and the text box, guess what? Now it just takes a change to the style sheet and all your pages are now not column oriented, they're up and down oriented.
I had no idea that style sheets could do that kind of thing.
Absolutely. It takes a little different thinking, right? You're not going to use tables. You're going to use styles to do that type of thing. It's not only just for colors, but it can be used for positioning as well.
Well, so, you know, and when you think about it, I mean, the color scheme, the font layout, the look and feel, these are all kind of graphic design elements. And I can imagine a client saying, oh, you know, we hired a new branding firm and they have changed the whole thing. And you know, so we need to update the website. And if you did it with style sheets, you'd be like, no problem, right?
Absolutely. And that's the great thing is you're now separating, just like we always like, remember the old ASP days?
Mm-hmm.
It was the HTML and the code all together, right?
Right. Uh-huh.
And everybody realized that was horrible. So Microsoft came up with ASP.NET,
right.
Separated the content from the code, right?
Yeah.
Now we're talking about separating the content from the design, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
Right? The content is just the HTML markup. Now we have the design of how that markup is going to look over in this style sheet. That definitely is an architectural type of thing, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and that's like you said, when you do the branding, you need to be able to change things in one place. And those branding firms, they have HTML and cascading style sheet developers. They don't have programmers.
Yeah.
Right? So I have the programmers do the functional requirements. I have these guys work on the design.
Aha. Uh-huh. So I've always wondered, why do they call them cascading style sheets?
Well, one of the things that you can do is you can have multiple style sheets where one has your base functionality, and then in another one, you could actually have two style sheets applied to a page.
Mm-hmm.
And so one may have your certain functionality, and then the other one can have things that either augment, add on to the one from that came before, okay, or they can actually inherit from almost and override certain settings as well.
Mm.
So it allows you to change things on a page-by-page basis, so it kind of cascades down.
Oh, okay.
It goes in the order they're listed
yeah.
in the page, basically. So they cascade from one to the other.
So what do you think, is kind of the bare minimum things that an architect needs to be aware of with cascading style sheets?
I think there's a couple of things. The things that I look at is ensuring that my developers are not going in and setting properties, okay, hard coding the properties in.
So by that you mean like if I lay out a label on a page and I go, I want that to be Verdana, size 3, and so I select it and set that style in the page, that's a no-no.
Correct. You want to make sure that, to me, developers should not be dealing with design at all. They should just throw the label on, throw the text box on, and leave all that design stuff to somebody else.
Okay.
So what we do is, as an architect's role, is what I do is I lay out default pages for them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they want an input form, they copy and paste a template form. They're not doing an add new item.
Oh, okay.
From Visual Studio, right? Yeah. They're taking an existing template that already has the style applied.
Yeah.
So that when they run it, it's already there.
So do you think that, like on a lot of web projects, would this style sheet be like one of the first things you build then?
Not necessarily. It can go in at any time, really. Uh-huh. See, I can have the developers just working on the labels and the text boxes and the grids and things like, get the design and the functionality working, okay, as far as we need 5 text boxes and a grid, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, the designer can also be working with those same controls with a style sheet, and that developer can apply that style sheet at any time.
Well, wouldn't you I'm thinking a developer has to have some sense of what the page is going to look like, because they got to know, well, I need a table that's X big, and if it's only this big, then I can't show that many columns or whatever. I mean, there must be some, you have to have something, right?
Well, absolutely, and we have, in our standards, we have a base style sheet that we always start from, and all that's always applied to those template pages that we have. So obviously you need at least something to start with.
Yeah.
Okay, but it gives also that freedom for the designer to always come in and change that style a little bit later on.
Okay? Oh, okay.
The thing I look at is think about the ASP.NET 2.0 master pages.
Uh-huh.
Right? You design everything there. You can lay out your styles. You can lay out your content area, right?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that content area is actually laid out with a style. All right? They actually use a div tag, right, with a style that says where to position that thing.
Uh-huh.
So Microsoft has already taken advantage more of style sheets as well in their master pages. So, and that's what we've also done now with 2.0 is as we made the transition, we started going into the master page and applying our styles there so that they would then cascade down to the pages, the child pages.
Oh, okay. So that's cool. So then, all right, that helps a lot to get that consistent. Of course, then the requirement that you're trying to satisfy here is you want your site to have a consistent look and feel across all pages.
You got it.
And you don't want to bug like, Joey forgot to change the font color on this page
here. Oh, exactly. And when you're doing a site with 300 pages, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's something you got to think about.
Uh-huh.
So it's, again, that's definitely an architectural thing that you got to lay out, right, is that consistency from page to page, because otherwise you're going to have a maintenance nightmare on your hands. And that's what I think an architect's job is to be looking at the overall total cost of ownership.
Uh-huh.
That includes the maintenance.
Yeah.
And that's not just on the coding piece. It's also on that design piece as well.
Uh-huh. Okay, so what other things do you think are important for them to know?
Again, I think, besides the cascading style sheet, there's now this new concept in ASP.NET 2.0 of skins.
Yes.
Okay. Cascading style sheets, here's the big difference that we always got to remember. Cascading style sheets are applied on the client.
Mm-hmm.
Skins are done on the server.
Ah.
So a skin, you can actually take a button and you can set all of its properties, okay, like the font color and all of that. You can then take that button and put it into a skin file, right? And now that becomes the style that is applied to an ASP.NET server control on the server before it's sent down to the client.
Okay.
Okay. So now not only can we control the look of the actual controls, but we can actually even control sometimes some of the behaviors as well through skins. So it basically, style sheets always apply to the final HTML element, right?
Yeah.
Skins apply to ASP.NET server controls.
Ah, okay.
See? So it's like cascading style sheets for the server controls now.
Well, so that's an interesting distinction because I hadn't thought about it this way, but let me think out loud for a minute. So so you said the style sheets applied at the client.
Right.
So the browser on the client side goes out, gets a raw HTML stream, and then it fetches a style sheet, and it starts using the style sheet to interpret the HTML about how it's going to render things.
Correct.
But that can only go so far, right? So if you send down, you know, a GIF file or a JPEG file, it can't redo whatever that is because the client can't do that.
Right.
But so the skin could change the image that's associated with something on the server side and send down a different image depending on the skin.
Right, it can do that. It can, you know, change a button's behavior sometimes, like whether it causes validation or not.
That can
be applied, okay?
That's kind of scary, isn't it, though?
It can be, you know, okay. but again, it gives us that flexibility, doesn't it? Right? Because we want the flexibility of affecting the raw HTML, but sometimes, hey, you know, what about a data grid? Okay, I mean, all of the things that are in that data grid, think about it. There's the item template, the alternating item template, the header, the footer, all of those things, right?
Yeah,
Those are server-side controls, aren't they?
Sure.
Wouldn't you want the ability to change those in one place?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Without having to figure out all the cascading style sheets of everything has to be applied to every one of those elements, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
That's where you really get a lot of functionality. Or calendar control. Right? The calendar control. You can set those auto formats.
Yeah.
Okay? Well, set an auto format, but then copy that out into a skin, and now that can apply to all your calendar controls across your whole site.
So it sounds almost like you would recommend even a lot of people think, oh, I'm just writing, you know, kind of a businessy website, you know, and skins sound like something that a teenager would want for their website. You know, we don't need that for, because we're, you know, a serious business. But it sounds like you would recommend doing a skin, even if you only did it for the purpose of future extensibility and design.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, the great thing about skins, however, is you can add them at any time. Okay, so even if you just did a plain vanilla business site, like you're saying, okay, I can always add a skin file later.
Yeah.
Okay, and then apply put it into a theme, and then a theme can always be applied to each individual page, or you can even put the theme in the web.config file, and now that theme will go across all pages.
Oh, yeah, and your client would love you.
That's correct. That's right.
And you go, check this out.
I know. And the great thing is a theme can also include cascading style sheets. Right?
Okay.
So this makes it, again, more of a thing that I can apply downstream. I don't have to think all the way up front, you know, hey, I'm designing this boring business app.
Yeah.
I can always come in later and apply that theme globally across the whole site.
But I'm just thinking of the ramifications of doing that. Does applying a theme give you a big test burden? I mean, you go like, oh, we applied this theme and it just busted everything on the site, you know?
Depending on what you did. I mean, like I said, certain skins and certain controls, you could actually affect the behavior of certain controls. Not all of them allow you to do that. But
yeah.
Certain controls, yes, certain behaviors could be changed. So that could, in fact, you know, cause you to have to do major regression testing.
Yeah,
right, but mostly it's pretty benign.
Okay, except for that maybe, I mean, the visual layout of things might make that field is so small you can't even read things, you know, or
absolutely.
Whatever, right?
Okay. Or if somebody has, you know, if somebody's hard of seeing and they have their font set very large, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That could also affect things.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
You know, and that's the other thing is, you know, unfortunately what Microsoft did in, you know, especially in Visual Basic.net is they have the grid layout turned on in the web form, right? And that is horrible to do.
Oh, yeah.
Because that does absolute positioning.
Yeah.
Okay, and so then if somebody did increase their fonts, that's exactly the scenario that's going to happen. That feels too small to read now, right?
It's icky.
Oh, it's very icky. That's right. That's a technical term,
yeah,
icky.
That's right. You know? Well, you know, I'm... You know, I have glasses, and so oftentimes, like, when I don't have my glasses on, I might like to increase the text size on websites, you know?
Absolutely.
And I find there are so many sites that are completely busted there. Like, they won't increase the size no matter what you do, and, you know,
absolutely.
There's I hate that.
Yeah. So by applying the styles as opposed to using that grid layout or anything like that, you can totally adjust all of that stuff, right? Plus, you also got to think about the different browsers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, between IE, Firefox, Mozilla, all those different ones, right? The styles can be rendered a little bit differently.
Yeah.
So one of the things you can also do is you can detect the type of browser and then send the appropriate cascading style sheet down as well.
Oh, that's very cool.
Right.
So I'm wondering if style sheets might be one way to help with localization as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going to localize the text, but sometimes there's other problems. Like, I'll never forget when one of the first projects I worked on for this ISV in Silicon Valley that was one of the first that I had to do that had to be localized. And this was, you know, in the early 90s, and I was laying out these forms with, like, everything was really compact, you know.
Right.
I was cramming as many controls as I could possibly fit on this little dialogue, you know. And when they sent it to the company that localized into German, and they go, I'm sorry, we can't fit these German words right on those buttons.
And German is the worst. I lived in Germany for a year,
uh-huh,
and I did hotel software, and we had to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, it ran in 11 different languages. And so, yeah, you had to be very careful about that layout.
They have some very seriously long words.
Oh, they do. I know. You know, instead of the, it's, you know, blah, 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 right?
Yeah.
It's 10 characters, you
yeah
know? So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But so if you had a style sheet, though, you could have the German style sheet, and then the buttons are a little larger on that one or something?
Correct. Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
You know, and images can be changed, mm-hmm, okay, you know, for the particular language. So.
Oh, yeah. Or yeah, that might be actually very important culturally, right? So there's some
absolutely
images that are like, we think they're really cool here, but over in another country, they think that's a really bad picture.
Might be offensive. Absolutely.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So localization, that's an excellent point.
Okay.
You know? So, you know, the flexibility you get, I think, is the main key here, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, and I think, again, an architect's job is to think about flexibility and maintainability. And that's what style sheets give you. By the way, there's one other benefit.
Yeah.
Performance.
Oh, really?
They are faster. If you do if you use style sheets for everything, instead of actually putting inline styles on, you know, which basically means you're applying those properties.
Yeah.
Okay. That is faster because now your HTML that goes down is smaller.
Yeah.
And the cascading style sheet is sent down to the client, and it's cached on the client.
Uh-huh.
And it's run down there.
Yeah, yeah.
So less HTML goes across the wire now because most of the style layout stuff is all down.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
All right. I'm convinced, you know, that this is a good idea. So, but what would I need to do to take advantage of this?
I think the main thing is you need to get a little bit of training.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you did attend VS Live, I'm here doing a session on this.
Yeah. See. And for our listeners out there, there's lots of VS Live events, right? I mean, they have them coming up in the spring. What they got?
Toronto's coming up in April, yeah, and I believe it's in May in Orlando.
Yeah.
And I think I just got my thing back for Orlando, and I think I'm repeating this session in Orlando, actually, in May of this year, 2006.
Yeah. Well, so. See, there you go. So, and usually the Orlando one was in September.
It was, but you know why they moved it.
Why?
Hurricane.
Oh.
Remember 2 years ago?
I do remember
that.
We
almost didn't make VS Live.
Yeah, they had three hurricanes in a row in Florida. And we were, it was just when the third one was coming.
Yeah, we were right in between.
Yeah, and I remember because when I flew on the plane from Seattle, there was like 10 people on the plane.
Yeah, exactly. I know. Nobody wanted to go to Florida at that time. So they decided to move it now to May.
I'm sure they got a better discount on the hotel, though, in
probably
September. Yeah.
Probably, but, you know, you got to do what you got to do, right?
Well, okay, so yeah. If they come to those, and I
right,
there's a whole bunch of them around in different places, Boston, and I think they did Vegas last year.
Yep, they did.
Yeah. So,
and there's also a lot of great websites out there.
Uh-huh.
I've found, you know, tons of little websites that help you with CSS. They give you examples.
Yeah.
Of everything. I can give you some of the URLs later, and you can post them up there.
Okay, yeah, that'd be great.
But these are things, I mean, if you want, I can also post my samples with you that I have for
super
the CSS.
Yeah, just give me some
session
links, and we'll
absolutely.
We'll point people to those.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's one thing, though. I guess from an architect needs to be able to know that I can satisfy these kind of long-term requirements. I don't have to know every last detail about the, you know, how they all work, but...
Right.
But at least I have to have a pretty general idea of the capabilities.
Correct.
So that when we're talking about, hey, long term, we need to have flexibility, maintainability. We need to be we may want to use this as a technique to localize and so forth.
Right.
So yeah, that's good stuff to know.
Well, the architect, you know, I think is the one who is setting standards, and that's not just coding standards and
mm-hmm.
database standards. It's also the standards for the design, and it's standards for the programmer who's developing the code to say, hey, I'm not going to send hard-coded inline styles down with this HTML.
Yeah.
I'm going to let that be rendered in the cascading style sheet.
Or as very often is the case now, many of these projects are being outsourced.
Absolutely.
And you might be the architect who's who's putting together the requirements for the vendors who are going to build it.
Right.
And if you're not watching them carefully, they might slip some pretty shoddy stuff in there, but that's not using style sheets, and you, so you need to specify these on requirements.
That's right. That's why, again, it's the architect's jobs to work with their people to lay out all this stuff up front and mm-hmm. have these templates, right?
Yeah.
That you say, hey, if you're doing this type of form, this is the template you use. If you're doing this type of form, this is the template to use.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's what I think, you know, the architect needs to be concerned with, the themes and the skins and the CSS.
Okay, so when you started digging into style sheets, were there any surprises? Were anything you went like, whoa, I had no idea that I could do that, or...
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I mean, there was a lot of little things, and I'm not going to kid you.
Uh-huh.
It's, I don't think it's easy.
Yeah.
I always have to look up something,
yeah.
Okay? Just the way certain things lay out kind of surprised me.
Uh-huh.
Some of the words they use is a little bit weird.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and the difference, like the box model they have is like margin, padding. You know, what's the difference between margin and padding?
I never know that one.
You know, I mean, margin is the area outside of the control.
Yeah.
Then there's the border, and then the padding's on the inside of the border.
See, and that doesn't, I would have thought there was the other way around.
See, I would too.
Yeah.
Right? And so it's little things like that that I think really kind of threw me for a loop at the very beginning of learning all this stuff.
Well, it's kind of funny. There's a lot of things like that in the web where you look at something and you go, well, where did this come from? But you have to remember the web was invented by these geeks back in the 80s. And
absolutely. You know, I mean, all these curly braces and, you know, these weird terms and colons, and it gets pretty wacko. You know.
Uh-huh.
Now, Visual Studio does a pretty good job because they do have the Cascading Style Sheet Editor.
Oh, yeah.
And so as you are entering your styles, they actually give you IntelliSense.
Oh, okay.
And they prompt you for what you should be doing. So that's nice. So we get the IntelliSense list of all of the style elements that we can apply.
Yeah.
So, you know, in that respect, Visual Studio does a great job of helping us with that.
But, you know, the one thing that I wanted something like how you can do in Microsoft Word, let's say, with their styles, right? You can set up a paragraph like you like it.
Right.
And then you select it and you go, like, make a style. And I want that to be a style. Can you do that with Visual Studio?
That is used with skins. That's what skins can do.
Oh, okay.
Because I can go and I can put, you know, position on a text box.
Yeah.
And I can set all the properties in the properties window and get it looking exactly the way I want.
Uh-huh.
And then I can take that ASP text box right out of the HTML.
Yeah.
And I can drop it into a .skin file.
Okay.
Okay. And then I can remove all those properties I set on the main page.
Yeah.
And then when that skin gets applied to the page, all those show up for all the text boxes.
Okay.
So that is the same type of thing that you're talking about in Word.
Yeah. Well, I guess the thing I find hard about it is, you know, you're looking at this arcane syntax in the CSS file, and it's hard to visualize what is this style going to look like. You know, so you make it, and then you apply it to a page, and you look at the page, and you go, oh, that's not quite right. I need to change this. I need to change it. Go back. And you're going back and forth, you know, doing that.
Right.
It seems like a painful process.
Well, you know what I do? I mean, I do dual monitor.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So I have Visual Studio open over here. I have my browser open over here with the app running.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And while the app's running, I can go over here to the style sheet, make the change, hit Control S, refresh the browser over here, and now I get to see the change immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
So if you have the dual browser, it works, or dual, you know, monitor.
That's
it works
a good way.
Great.
Yeah, I guess I'm wanting a WYSIWYG editor for CSS sheets, but I don't know if anybody's built one of those.
Well, but again, you know, if you've applied that style sheet, you get to see what it looks like immediately.
Pretty close.
Even in the design window, it looks pretty close.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there will be minor differences from browser to browser,
uh-huh.
but that's where if you have the dual monitor, you can do that approach, and that works very well.
Yeah. Wow. Well, fascinating stuff. And is there a good book on style sheets that you recommend?
You know, I've never read a book on CSS. Isn't that weird? I know.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but I'm really almost a Google-powered developer.
Oh,
okay?
Yeah. No, that would be MSN Search, right?
MSN Search, sorry. Ah, you're right. Yes, I'm an MSN Search developer. And, you know, because I really find a lot of great sites out there on CSS, and they have samples for every little style.
Yeah.
And it helps because then you're seeing it right there, right? And you say, oh, that's the style I want. You can do a view source and grab it.
Okay, so you know what you need to do for me? Send me an email with links to, like, your samples, some of those sites, and
absolutely.
And all that. And we'll put those links with this podcast when it posts on Channel 9.
Be happy to.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Paul, for taking time out here at VS Live to stop in and educate me on style sheets. I wish I could go to your session, but I'm going to be busy recording ArtCast all
That's
day.
That's right. That's right. So, no, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me. Thanks. All righty.
Paul Sheriff, ladies and gentlemen. Cascading style sheets for the masses. You know, it makes a lot of sense, right? Building web applications to keep all that formatting stuff out of the code. And, you know, taking advantage of style sheets just makes plain old good sense. And that's what we are all about here. That's why I look for people who do things that make good sense to be on my show because, that's how we learn. And that's how we do better. And that's what we're about here. So listen up, learn something here on ArtCast.